Wow, praise the Lord. It's so good to be worshiping with you guys here this morning. It really is. Yeah, it's a privilege. You gonna turn that around for me? Yeah, thank you. Let me give you a summary first of this is part two. Part one was last week about the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the prodigal, as you may remember. I didn't tell you what scriptural reference that was, but it was in Luke chapter 15. Now you actually all should know that anyway. I didn't even ask you to go there, so as I read it to you. But it really is an awesome text, the whole chapter. But as I was reading through, as I often do is after the teaching, I'll go reading through my notes and I'll see something there that I only touched upon. I want to zero in on it this morning. And I have some help doing that, as you'll see later on. But the parable of the lost sheep is in particular interesting to me. I mean, the lost coins I kind of can relate to somewhat because we're always losing tools around the house, guys, right? And gals, if you ever have one earring, you know you lost the other one. And when you find it, it's really a nice thing. Sure, sometimes I go in the shower and I find one, you know. And it's always going to bring a smile to her face, right? But that's kind of a passive understanding of who we are as people. So these parables are to explain to the Pharisees and to the scribes, basically who God is and who people are. So you can be like a lost coin sometime. You just weren't in the right place, not found, but you are now found. So everybody he's speaking to, is particularly those who are already found, those who are part of the sheepfold. And the parable of the prodigal son is probably the most interesting, the one that people always zero in on. But it's interesting to me to note that the inheritance, both sons missed what the inheritance was. Because the inheritance wasn't the dividing of the father's estate. Interestingly, when they came back, the father still had his estate intact. Isn't that cool? Because as a representation of our Father in heaven, there's no measure of his worth. He can give you half of the estate, and he still has the whole number. He still has everything. So both sons missed it. You have to come back so that I can eat again, the prodigal. I don't have to eat leftovers from what the pigs are eating. And the elder son who says, well, I don't get this. What's going on? So they all both didn't understand that the real inheritance in the kingdom is the Father's relationship with you. So as you come to him, we know that, right? It's just as we come born again into the Lord. This is a quote from C.S. Lewis. He says, I know now, Lord, why you utter no answer. You wonder why sometimes he doesn't answer your prayers. Then he says, you yourself are the answer. Before your face, the questions die away. What other answer would suffice? Isn't that good? I really thank the Lord for C.S. Lewis, don't you? He's really an awesome person. His insights on who God is and who we are. So as we go to parables, it's interesting. The parables are there for a reason. And the parable of the parables is the parable of the sower. Did you know that? Like this, the ones I just gave you were the parables to explain to the scribes and the Pharisees. But the parable of the sower is to everybody. And his disciples say, why do you speak in parables? This parable is to the parable of the parables. To tell them, this is why I speak in parables. A parable to explain parables. Circular logic, right? But, you know, our Lord is well able to do that and make it fruitful. Not me so much, but our Lord is. So anyway, he says to the disciples, he says to the masses, he says the parable and walks away. and expects them to either understand it or not. And the key word there is understanding. So if you don't understand it, something is definitely wrong. In fact, that's the first case in the parable of the sower. He says, if anyone hears the word of the kingdom, so what is this about? The kingdom of God. And it's hearing the word of the kingdom. If anybody hears the word, well, it's not enough. And he doesn't understand it, then the wicked one comes, snatches it away, what was sown in his heart. This is he who receives the seed by the wayside. So there are some that won't even begin to search out and try to understand what the word of the kingdom is. We have to face the fact that some are just not going to get it. Some who have no understanding. I myself think that that's not an excuse for us to walk away for that lost person, but it's an excuse for us to go and keep ministering to them until they do. The second example in the parable of the sower is the one who received the seeds in stony places. And this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet it has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. And the key word there is endurance. James says in the first chapter, verse 2, that count it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, for the perfection of your faith to endure, to have perseverance in it. This is not a new thing to the New Testament. It's a theme repeated over and over again, that we need to, like, not retreat, not recoil from circumstances, but embrace them. I don't want to embrace some circumstances that I'm in. I really don't. In my flesh, in my mindset, but God has a different mindset. And that's what we talked about last week, too. It says we need a heavenly perspective. We need a heavenly mindset. We need to see with his eyes, not our eyes only. And we don't walk by feelings. We walk by faith. Oh, if we could only really get that. So many times I feel like I'm in level one where I didn't even understand the word at all. And I need to seek it out. But there's also this place where the worries and the stony places, a place of tribulation, persecution arise, that we come to a place and we stumble, fall back. Again, our responsibility is not to say, well, that's too bad for you, but it's our responsibility to go and uphold the weak ones in the faith with prayer, walking by their side. Number three, the one who receives among the word among the thorns, he's the one who hears the word and he carries his word, so he cherishes it. But the world, deceitfulness and the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word and it becomes unfruitful. It doesn't say he lost the word or even his understanding of it, but he's letting other things in his life crowd it out. Yeah. So we should be on guard, even ourselves, even us mature sheep, should be on guard to not let that happen. So when your cares of the world come in, that we don't go crazy about it. Jessica and I had a problem with the pool pump, swimming pool pump, just recently. I think it sounded like a B-52 bomber coming in for a landing. I don't know. The pump was going. A lot of things can go wrong in this life. Your car can blow a gasket, literally. What do? Well, you lean on the Lord. If he is the answer, will any other answer be enough? The answer is no. I don't think so. So, the last case, he teaches us and the world about parables and about the kingdom of God. Is there those who have received the seed on good ground? So what does that mean, that we're cheering up the ground of our heart, that there's a place to plant seed there to start with? It's soil that's fertile. It's waiting to hear. There's an expectation to hear the word of God. Is that where you are today? Sometimes we come to church and we have no expectations at all. Good, all right, I do that too. But we need to have an expectation of what God is going to say to us. Then when he hears that word, and here's the key word, and understands it, he indeed bears fruit, and it produces some 100, some 60 and some 30. The key word there, obviously, is to understand the Word of God. So let's go back to the parable of the lost sheep. Try to understand all of the things that's going on there. I think we all get the idea that Jesus left the 99 sheep who are in a good place. They're in the body of Christ, so to speak. They know they're being covered, they're praying, they're doing whatever they need to do as good little sheep. I'm smiling because we're going to do something in a few minutes. And it's like, but the lost sheep wanders off, following the scent of other sheep perhaps, or you know, seeing something like, oh, this looks good. I think I'll try that. You know, just recently, a young man, 14 years old, 360 pounds, 6 foot five, almost 6 foot six, as I understand, got onto a free fall ride in Orlando and fell to his death because the harness was only rated at 286 pounds, not 360. But Florida had a law that said that you can't tell people that because that would be discriminating against those who were overweight. Fell to his death, 14 years old. What 14-year-olds can make an appropriate decision? He wasn't even with his family, he was with friends. What family would send out a 14-year-old? Well, people do all the time. We're prone to just say, let's do, this sounds like fun. As you get older, that definition of fun changes. So I look at the slowest roller coaster in the park and I go, not so much. I've been there, done that. I don't think so. I have enough thrills on a throughway. I don't need artificial thrills. I have real ones. So they leave. He leaves the 99. He goes after the one, and that one is. He may have lost himself amongst the brambles, and he's got prickers all over him. He may have seen a wolf or a fox or whatever predators are out there, and he runs from them. He may have come up against a cliff and doesn't even know where to go. Wherever he finds himself, he now finds himself lost. Remember, in heaven mindset, there's either lost or found, dead or alive. And he wants us to be found and alive in him. Amen. But it says there that when he has found that lamb, when he found that sheep, he did something which I don't know that I would put in that parable, but he put it there. He says, he lays it on his shoulders rejoicing. So before anything else happens, he puts it on his shoulders. Now, interesting things happen on the shoulders. As a father, I used to take my young children, just learned how to walk, right? I said, come here. So now they have to trust my voice, trust my strength, and trust what I'm going to do next. They have to get in front of me, look away from me, and I pick them up by their shoulders. Okay, Dad, you know what you're doing. I hope. And I pick them up over my head. I don't know if I could do that today. Grandfathers do this too, by the way. Over my head and on my shoulders. That kid just learned how to walk a few months ago. And now he's riding on his father's shoulders. And the first thing they do is like, they're not comfortable with this at all. They grab your hair and pull. Stop that. So you take their hands now. You have their hands. They're sitting on your shoulders. And you put it on your forehead. Well, immediately, it goes down over your eyes. Have you experienced this? Yeah. All right. It goes down over your eyes. Sorry, I can't see. Put your hands back up on my shoulder. But Dad said, okay, hold my hands. So now you're holding your hand, their hands on the shoulders and you're walking. And you go to places that they'd have never been to before. Not at that level. Now, little Rumpold here. This belongs to Lillian. I named him Rumpold. So now he's up here. And he's a cute little lammy. I'm surprised I got it away from her. Well, I think you are surprised too. See, now his world, Rumpold's world, you know, actually this was helpful when everybody had to wear a mask at home. Even when we wear a mask, and I could be a much better ventriloquist.
Oh, that's true. That's true, Granddad.
So, before I lifted the child up to my shoulder, and before the shepherd lifted the lamb up to his shoulder, his world was not here. His world was way down here. Now there, you can only see the manufacturer codes, the part number, and if he's walking around in amongst the sheep, he might get kicked. You see, it's just what everybody's wearing as for shoes or socks, and the smells are not necessarily so good either down there. So the sheep... He's great. I like this little sheep.
Oh, you're so great. Thank you, Bernard.
Now, behave now. Okay. Now, first thing, they're very uncomfortable when you're up here. So you first start walking with the Lord, and it's like, I can't get comfortable. And the kid starts moving around, fidgeting, and stuff. And you start sweating as you're climbing and walking down the walk. And so the sheep gets to smell you and really gets to feel the heat around your neck especially. It's too hot. And you walk with the shepherd for a while, things can get too hot. And maybe you don't like the smell of Shekinah glory. I don't know. But you're not used to it for sure. But one thing that catches them right away, and almost within a half hour, 15 minutes, can I ride on your head now?
Oh, thank you.
So you put them up there. They're riding on your head. That's a dangerous place to be for your neck, by the way. So that's enough. You put them back down. So you put them back down in a safe place. And they begin to see something about the shepherd that they didn't see before either. That is, he's strong. When he goes up a hill, he may have labored breath, but he's not tired. He knows where he's going, and he knows how heavy the load is, and it doesn't bother him one single bit. Remember that song, "He Ain't Heavy, He's My Brother"? That came from a time when he actually had to carry his brother on his shoulders. And a guy said, "Aren't you getting tired?" The priest turned to the kid. "Aren't you getting tired?" "No, he's my brother." And this is his actual real brother. But he wrote the song, "He Ain't Heavy, He's My Brother." And Jesus can carry this lamb for a long, long time. As a father, I know how long I had to carry my kids after you put them down. "I want to ride some more." I said, "Okay, here we go."
"Oh, thank you. This is so nice up here."
And by the way, they see things now they have never seen before. On his way back to the sheepfold, right, things start to happen. He goes by the briar patch and he said, "Do you remember that, Rumpold?"
"I like that name, Rumpold. Yeah, I remember that."
"Well, don't go there again." Then he sees the cliff. "Now, you see that, Rumpold?"
"Oh, yeah. That was a scary place, that cliff. I almost fell off. I love you."
"I love you, too." "Don't worry, Lillian will see you in a while." So, our puppet's great. Joy does a better job of this, right, Wayne? So, he sees things now differently. He doesn't see the chair legs and your feet and your shoes. Like we who walk in this world, that's all we're seeing. We're just seeing the bottom part of what we experience of life. But once we're put on his shoulders, we can see now 6 feet, 6.5 feet, if he puts us on his head. We can see things we never would have dreamed seeing before. We can see a long, long distance away ahead. We can see what he sees. Because we see on the floor, we just see human bodies. And it's like, I hope it gets better than this. But when we're on his shoulders, we look out on the body of Christ and we see faces. We see eyes. We see lips. We see ears. We see hair. We see all kinds of wonderful things that we didn't see before. And in the spirit, we see the spiritual persons that are out there in amongst the sheepfold. We no longer see each other in the natural, the scripture says, but we see each other in the spirit. John goes so far as to say, you were not born of flesh and blood by mom and dad. You are born in the spirit.
Oh, that's so great. Keep preaching.
Such a good little Rumpold. You're not going to forget this, right? I'm just doing this so you can remember it. What we all need is shoulder time with Christ. We can't get there by ourselves. He has to put us there. But when we're there, we get used to it and we love it there. Please carry us again. But while you're there, you don't have that much responsibility either. When you're doing shoulder time with the Lord, it's a time, a season of just soaking in the Lord's presence. Let's stay there for a while. Well, he'll let you do that for a season. We first come to the Lord, a lot of times people will make a testimony to that they're just doing shoulder time with Jesus. When we were going through the renewal, it was like doing shoulder time with Jesus. But it's for a reason. So they would get used to it. So we know that that's the reality of who we are, to see things at this level.
Oh, that's true. Very true. Amen.
Now, so Jesus is carrying this Rumpold up to the sheepfold. And now he looks out over the sheep and he doesn't see them the same way at all. He sees protection there. He sees what Jesus sees, that they rely upon their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. They rely upon the Good Shepherd to guide them. They don't follow after just any smell, any sight that they see. They now look to the shepherd. Where is he going next? What's he going to do? He's not going to go up in the mountains because that's where the wolf and the bear and all the dangerous predators are. He's not going to go down into the river because we could all drown. But he's going to take us to good pasture. There's a lot of psalms about that. Taking us to the good pasture. Poor baby. This will be over in a few minutes. Poor Rumpold. There's another good thing that happens. As Jesus puts us down again.
No, I don't want to go.
Yeah, puts us down. Now, poor Rumpold is down where he was before. And we will find ourselves down where we were before, too. But Jesus says one thing to us. He says, remember this, please. I will never leave you or forsake you. Right, Rumpold?
Yes, that's true.
He knows because I've done this before. I will never leave you or forsake you. He's said that to us. Is that right? Why don't we believe it? Because we're down there. We don't see. But we come to worship the Lord. We're spending shoulder time with our Lord and Savior. And he wants us to know that we're not walking by feelings anymore. Feelings is seeing what he sees, poor Rumpold, feeling what he feels, smelling what he smells. That's walking by feeling. And Jesus says, don't walk by feelings, poor Rumpold. Walk by what you are doing when you're doing shoulder time with me. So we all need to walk and have shoulder time with the Lord Jesus. You who are suffering long-term illness and pain, remember, you need shoulder time with Jesus to see with his eyes, not with your own, to feel what he's feeling, not what you're feeling. Things will change a great deal. Remember the scripture, it says, it's more blessed to give than to receive. Well, when you're walking on the floor, that doesn't make any sense at all. But when you're walking in with the Lord on his shoulders, that makes a lot of sense. Because as you give of yourself and what the Lord has given to you to others, you feel really good. maybe not in your physical senses, but you feel really good in the spirit because you know you have done the will of God and the purposes of God. Isn't that what he says in the Lord's Prayer? Let your will be done, not mine. Just like it is in heaven. There are a lot of things that are being done in heaven and we're just finding out about today. A lot of things are being done on earth that we're just finding out about today. This was an interesting article I was reading this week, just a couple days ago, that the huge, massive collider that they built decades ago in the state of Illinois, just outside of Chicago, it was the fastest accelerator ever, and they shut it down about 11 years ago because they had a faster one. As soon as you have a faster collider, and the faster one is in Switzerland, and the faster collider would answer all of our questions about the universe, about subatomic particles. Well, they just got around to crunching the numbers 11 years later. Don't you love science? We trust these are guys that are really smart, by the way. They're not like you and I. They scored so high on their SAT tests that they, you know, get scholarships all over the place. So they should have known better. But at any rate, they just get around to crunching the numbers, and they found out that one of the bosons, whatever they call them, subatomic particles, particle number W, or letter W, was much heavier than they ever expected it to be, which now throws out the entire standard theory of subatomic particles. So all the understanding that we all thought we understood no longer applies. Well, if you're walking with the sheep at the floor level, you might be upset about that. Right? You might be very upset about that. So we've been betrayed by our smart guys and the smart girls that are being graduating from Ivy League schools all over the place, and that we've been betrayed. Well, if you're walking with shoulder time with Jesus, this doesn't bother you at all. Because you realize this isn't the story. The story is what's happening in the spirit. Over the centuries, things change. Mountains are formed. Seas are formed as well. Continents go and come. Whole civilizations rise and fall. But the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. Doesn't matter if we understand basic subatomic particles of physics. It doesn't matter how much we can see with the new Hubble telescope and the newer one. Forget the name now. The Webb telescope. There we go. It doesn't matter how far they can see. The steadfast love of the Lord doesn't change. It never ceases. It doesn't somehow wander away. And although the sheep are wandering all over the place to find something that they can call truth, oh, would it be so nice they would come back to the gospel of Jesus Christ dying for them on the cross. Wouldn't it be so nice that they finally would understand how much the Father loves them because of what he did for us, not for what we figured out. Remember, the sheep and the child had to like stand ahead of the father and the father pick him up, and they had to have total trust in him. And I'm telling you, they don't have that much trust in him at first. But the father's strength, the strength of his hands, the strength of his arms, lift the child up and put him on his shoulders. He begins to understand something of the strength of his father. I used to take my girls especially, not so much my son, but my girls especially, I would lift them up, and I was lifting weights at the time so I could do this. I would throw them up into the air, some 6 feet in the air, and my wife would be horrified. But Jessica would always say, again, Dad, again. She would say that again today, but it's not happening. Right, Rumpel? That's right. So I go to bed at night now thinking about shoulder time. Now thinking about all the events of the day. I say, I have to put off that and put on this. I have to put off that, put on this. Put off all of the things the world has given us and put on what Jesus has given us, even as we go through this world in our circumstances. Is that right? Now, I also talked about this, I think, on Friday night. I talked about how we get over things more quickly than we think. 10,000 years from now, when we have all been, well, unless Jesus comes before then, when we've all been buried and now we're in the resurrection life and we're praising the Lord, I don't know what else we're going to be doing, but it's going to be fun. We won't even remember some of the things that we've gone through here. And I shared this on Friday night that after my shoulder surgery, you know, I thought I would never forget that. And every time I rolled over at night, my muscles would guard that shoulder. Even after it stopped hurting, I would guard it because the psychological scars of that pain were still there. But there came a time, and it was a couple months ago, that I realized my shoulders don't even exist anymore. I don't even remember it. I don't guard it. It's gone. The trial, the circumstance, the pain, it's over. And it will be for each one of us. Guaranteed. Guaranteed. But we can get a glimpse of that, not just when we die. We can get a glimpse of that today as we do shoulder time with the Lord Jesus. Remember, I said, while you're on your shoulders, you don't have anything to do but just absorb the presence of God. You don't have to make choices about what you're going to follow. He's not giving you a choice. Wouldn't you want to stay there forever? I would. I want to stay right there. I'm tired of making decisions. But the Lord wants us to understand. The Lord wants us to make decisions, correct decisions, not just for us, but for those who are following after us as well. Because you know what? It's not so much they're going to do what you say and what you preach. It's what they're going to do what you are in Christ, what God has made you to be, a woman and a man of God. What a wonderful thing. See, I'm looking with the eyes of the Lord now, and I don't just see my friends. I do, but I don't just see my friends. I see men and women of God that are beyond my understanding of who you are. I don't understand what you've done in my own practical way through my senses, but with the eyes of the Lord, I can see so much more love and understanding in your eyes. And when you speak, now I listen carefully for the word of God and understand it. Amen? So who's on board? Rumpel is. He's on board. So we need to have shoulder time. He's having trouble with this today. Here we go. There we go. Shoulder time. Get up there.
Okay.
So let's pray together. Amen. Father, we recognize that we have been like sheep. Even if we don't want to. We purpose not to do it. But we're just so sheep-like that we follow the smell. We follow the feelings. We follow what we see at 1 foot high. We see chair legs. We see what's under the chairs. We're more concerned about the manufacturer of the chair than we are the whole purpose of the chair. Or we're so caught in the details that we don't see what you're doing at all. So we repent from that, Lord God. We turn away from it. We ask you, Lord God, to redeem our life day to day. As Mary was sharing Friday night too, is there's the cross that we bear daily is taking up those concerns, taking them and then giving them over to you, because your burden is easy and your yoke is light. If we try to do it on our own self, by our own ways, by our own strength, we are doomed to fail. But we are not failing because we are having shoulder time with you in the midst of our brothers, in the midst of these wonderful sheep that you have caused us to gather together with here in Lake Katrine, New York. And I saw a video of Alexa in Russia just yesterday worshiping the same songs that Paul sings with the same intensity of worship that we have. And so how can that be? Because the love of the Lord doesn't have boundaries called countries or nations. The boundaries don't exist in his eyes. What exists in his eyes is the kingdom of God that he's making in you and me, and the hearts that he's changing through you and I as we go through the circumstances of pain, as we go through the circumstances of adversity that we find ourselves in. Whoever thought we'd pay over $5 a gallon for gasoline? Who'd ever think of such a thing? But here we are. We ask you, Lord God, to go before us, as you promised, that you would never leave us or forsake us. You never will. Amen.
Thank you, Peter.